This doesn't make any sense.
It's been all over the place.
I 100% stand by that statement. It is absolutely what? Makes sense.
I turned off the TV and then turned it on just because I had nothing to do.
I feel for you guys.
I mean, I'm not a glory hunter.
No, no. When you're playing Roy Keane, how can you not get a red card? That is needed.
No one can deny that it is lame.
It's been dreadful. So
my take on this is, why does anyone care?
There was a slew of like 9 games where I was like, why is he starting each and every time?
Going up, and all that.
What?
We are a football club, we need to win games.
Oh, really? Hey everyone, and welcome to an all new episode of All About Sports, the podcast. I am your host, Mazhar, and I have Rishabh and Aniket as well. But today, it's slightly different. Krishnan and Gui will be not hosts, but guests. And the reason for that is, today's episode is all about Arsenal Football Club. And it's my pleasure to also introduce our special guest, Mr. Anmol Jamwal, aka Jammy Pants. I'm sure a lot of you know him. He's the founder of Tried and Refused Productions, TRP, one of India's leading movie review channels. Shout out to him for that. Firstly, Jamwal, no questioning your taste in movies, but I am going to question your taste in football clubs. So for all of those who don't know, Jamwal is an Arsenal fan, as so are my co-hosts today, sadly. And I feel for you guys. Sorry, I'm going to stop with that banter. Let's get into it, actually. So the first thing I wanted to bring up with relation to Arsenal is the manager, of course. There's been a lot of talks about Mikel Arteta. Arsenal fans were very optimistic about the season that was going to kick off, considering they won the FA Cup. They also won the Charity Shield. And things were looking up for Arsenal. Of course, there was a high dependence on Aubameyang, and we were wondering how that would work out. So I just wanted to get into it. So firstly, Jamwal, how are you doing? And thank you so much for making time in your packed schedule here today to join us on something that is completely... People don't realize that is also a part of your domain is football. So, yeah.
No, thank you so much, guys, for having me. I'm an avid listener. I keep on telling Maz what a great job you guys are doing. And yes, it's been a busy year. Everything's turned digital. So sort of every theatrical release has turned into an OTT one. So even though sort of the situation is odd worldwide, sort of that way, work has still been consistent. So that's a blessing. So with football, yes, I mean, it's been an odd year, of course, for all Arsenal fans. I don't think anybody would have foreshadowed to be in such a predicament that we are in today. I mean, I forgot how it felt to win. And yesterday night, I was like, oh, this is how it feels. Oh, a game where they play good football. So yes, it has been an odd year, but through and through, I guess. I mean, I'm not a glory hunter. I was 9 years old when I started supporting them, and it was 2003-04, which was the best time to be an Arsenal fan. But I mean, it is what it is right now. All of you can chime in about the manager and what you think about him. Then I'll come in between and give my opinion as well.
Yeah, no, I think it goes without saying, if you're an Arsenal fan, you can't be a glory hunter, or you've misunderstood what that term means.
So, just one thing, Krishnan, before you mention it, and I'm glad you brought up the glory hunter part, because this actually bodes well into sub. I was watching Arsenal Fan TV. Mind you, it's one of my favorite channels. But in that, they interviewed Mia Khalifa. And she's a West Ham fan. And she said she doesn't want to support Arsenal because she likes supporting the underdogs. And then it's just ironic that the host of Arsenal Fan TV is like trying to convince her that Arsenal's no more a good team. So it was just sort of weird. So yeah, sorry, Krishnan. Go ahead.
No, that completely makes sense. And you know, it is funny that I'll be the first to say, you know, by Arsene Wenger's last season, I was definitely on the bandwagon of I'm really grateful for everything Arsene Wenger's done for the club, but I think it's time for him to move on from Arsenal Football Club. Here's the reason I'm still slightly optimistic about Mikel Arteta. I give him a lot of props for the end of last season. You know, when I think he took over from Unai Emery, Arsenal was in an extremely stagnant spot, both offensively and defensively. We were extremely slow offensively. We had no ideas, which is ironic given the current situation. But and defensively, we just were making way too many mistakes and we weren't able to shut up our defense. Mikel Arteta found a way at the end of last season to create some nice dynamic plays. Admittedly, it was also a result of Aubameyang's form, like you said. But he found a way to use Maitland-Niles in interesting ways. He found ways to like overload our wings in a way that brought out even the talents of someone like a, you know, like a Saka. So I give a lot of props to Mikel Arteta. Even this season, weirdly, for maybe the first time since I've been an Arsenal fan, I think our defense might be better than our attack.
Yeah.
Which I think a little bit might be to Arteta's credit. And he's found some really nice, him and recruiting have found some really nice pieces in Gabriel and Tierney. Bellerin is hit or miss. Rob Holding, I'm excited to see Pablo Mari play more. So I think, you know, we have to give him time. There has to be a little bit of patience. He's obviously run out of ideas down the middle in the attack, but he figured out a way to generate some excitement in our offense last year. So I trust him to figure it out. He's newer to this, so it will take some time. We just need to be honest about where Arsenal is right now.
You know, the situation also with especially him taking over Unai Emery is that there became a huge sort of discipline issue in the team. And it was very clear that, especially because of the barrier of language with Unai Emery. And if you also look at his time in PSG, a lot of the star players had sort of like ego issues with him. And when the sort of players themselves don't have a sense of respect for the manager, I feel like it was really in shambles in terms of just personal relationships with a person who's telling you what to do on the pitch. And for Arteta to come and sort of like, and it if you look at it right now, Arsenal's gone through an absolute change from the agent issues, the recruitment issues. So it's been all over the place for a manager like Arteta, who's so young, to sort of deal with the whole situation. I'm actually not surprised that we're in such a bad situation. I think this is the sort of gestation period we have to go through to, you know, eventually reach some kind of normalcy.
Yep. I read this somewhere, yep. And I want to know what you think about it. Mikel Arteta is the reason why I go to a club which is not as well financed as the big guns. So, I mean, just giving some perspective, right? Mikel Arteta has not had the time to push in his own XYZ category of signings. Most of the signings are dictated by someone else, that is not something to do with all different forms of things which are happening at the club, who's going to dictate signings and all of those. That lack of clarity has always been around once Arsene Wenger moves, right? Once a legacy manager moves, a club is basically, okay, who does what? So everyone's trying to figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
And one, since we're talking about managers, one thing I will really credit Unai Emery for is letting the young ones play. Like, okay, maybe these guys aren't clicking. Let someone who just emotionally charged drive a game. And to some extent, Haaland has had some really good academy prospects in the current generation. And just, okay, now this is a very bad way to look at it. Since Emery's time wasn't going well, say, maybe from the middle of his first season, after the 23-game unbeaten run, that side didn't really pick up and go anywhere.
You guys, yeah, I know you're mentioning a lot about Arteta. You like what he's bringing to the team. There may be some elements going forward that you see and you want to back him. Now, I was just looking at the stats. Now, Wenger, in his last season, finished sixth with 63 points in the Premier League. Unai Emery in his first season had 70, finished fifth. Now, that was obviously seven points better than the previous season. He had a slump in 1920, and that's when they got rid of him. He had 18 points in 13 games, so which came to 1.38 points per match. Now, when Arteta came in, he did a pretty decent job, 1.65 points per game. They ended up eighth, but that was still a lower points per match rating than when Wenger was there in his last season. So, and this season, well, we all know, 8 losses already. It's been dreadful. 17 points from 15 games for a club like Arsenal, it doesn't cut it, according to me. And it, coming back to what Guhi had mentioned about not being backed with support of signings, look at Manchester United as well. They didn't get the players they wanted. We all know that Jadon Sancho saga. But they coped. They found a way. I think Arsenal made a great signing in Thomas Partey. He's not adopted or adapted his system to sort of bolster that attack and create something in the middle of the park. Coming back to what you said, Krishnan, about them not conceding many goals, I agree. But if you look at it, in 35 Premier League games, and Arteta has won 14. He's lost 13. So that speaks volumes about how inconsistent they are. And goals for is only 47. And goals against is 40. So I think, like you said, yes, they aren't scoring goals. And that's obvious because they only have Aubameyang leading the front. But defensively also, you're still conceding one goal per game. Or more than one goal per game. So their need, I mean, I can understand the frustration of most of the Arsenal fans saying there's still nothing and they're not seeing growth. Now, that brings me to my next question. Do you actually think, is that only a manager thing? Or do you guys feel that the players do not deserve to wear the Arsenal shirt? I know there are exceptions, of course, Tierney, I think, is great. Some of these other young crop players like Saka and all, they understand what it means to be an Arsenal player. But I still have big question marks on the recruiting. So, Jambal or Krishnan, whoever wants to open up on this.
I'll just focus on two things. Is that at least in this decade, the consistent feature used to be with Arsenal fans that we used to get, the Arsenal team was that we used to get thrammed by the top six. So much so that it was a regular feature to lose like 6-1, 7-8-2. You know, you had these like crazy margins that we were losing by. It's only now that I look forward to not being embarrassed when I play a top six team. I know this is also a transition to talk about the agent recruitment. If you read about Kia and his relationship with Edu and how he sort of rolled the process of getting David Luiz, Cedric Suarez, he's even got Willian. You look at these things and you realize these guys in their early 30s to late 20s getting three-year contracts. It is also a combination of Arteta not being in the front seat of doing these signings. A lot of people say his major signings are Gabriel, Partey and Tierney. These are three people that he really wanted. And they're like some of our best performers. He's also been unlucky because Partey has not missed so many matches in his entire career than when he's signed for Arsenal. So in that way also, I feel like he's in a lot of matches, you will see that he sets up to not lose. And in that setting up to not lose, he soaks up a lot of pressure, which eventually leads to nothing happening in front. So I feel like he's trying to do one thing at a time. And that has led to our downfall as well, because we're like, okay, we'll be solid at the back and that'll be fine. But when you've got so many players, we've got Mustafi, we've got Socrates, we've got so many players who barely play now. And it's pretty clear that we want to eventually offload them. So I feel like in that process of trying to build a solid back line, he hasn't focused on how to transition from the midfield to the front. We're just looking at Tierney like pushing it up to Aubameyang. So people have realized we just freeze Aubameyang and they can't do anything. So I feel like that's my take on the whole thing.
Which actually also brings me to the other point now that you brought up Socrates, Mustafi, all of these so-called Deadwood players, right? What about Ozil? I know, Jamal, you are a big fan of Mesut Ozil. I know Gui and Krishnan also like him. What's your opinion on the Ozil scenario? Yes, let's not get into the politics of it. But, according to me, I feel like Ozil is staging a lot of things as well. I mean, you aren't completely innocent when you're earning 350,000 quid a week. But, so, yeah, guys, the floor is yours. I'm not going to get into it, but that's my take. I think playing a cheeky game here, he's trying to, like, be the good guy when he might actually not be that good. So
my take on this is, why does anyone care? My concern is, if you need to play someone in the hole between your midfield and the forwards, find someone. Okay, it need not be Ozil, right? Emile Smith Rowe had a great game yesterday. Now the kid can play between the deep lying midfielders and the attackers. He's played on the wings in his academy days. So he knows how to make a move in that area. Okay, so my only question is, why is there no one? You can't trust Lacazette to drop back and play in that position. No, I don't want a false nine Lacazette. I just don't want a false nine striker to begin with. That's a personal choice. But if not Ozil, you need someone, right? So I don't care if it's Ozil playing there, if it's Emile Smith Rowe playing there, even though he's, 20? Honestly, I just don't want to see Lacazette or Willian, who are absolutely incapable of playing in that role, playing. But that's about it for me. When I saw Willian play there, I turned off the TV and then turned it on just because I had nothing to do. That's the only reason I watched that game. Alright? Lacazette playing 9? Okay. He has the famous hold-up play. Okay. I'm just going to body check everyone. I'm just going to block everyone using my back because, well, I don't need to look towards goal, right? I'm not a striker at all, so it doesn't matter to me. I'd much rather see Reece Nelson, who's barely played there, just because he has the drive. He has the drive to carry the ball. Willian, he has the drive to carry the ball to the corner flag and then out. Like I said, he does not have, he can't carry the ball, right? He doesn't have the pace. He doesn't have the dribbling to carry a ball. He can finish. You need to put it on a plate for him. Now, all of those things. I much rather see Willock play in that position. But you mentioned Ozil. It's more about where Ozil plays as opposed to Ozil. So, just someone to fill that role.
And I think, Gui, this speaks to the broader point that we're getting at. What I have no issue with inconsistency if we make the concerted decision at this point in our trajectory to say we're not going with old players, we're taking a decision to go with our young guys. Like you said, Jamal, like getting in players like David Luiz, Willian are just short-sighted decisions. Willian, I'm not happy in a team that's losing when we're playing Willian, Oba, and Lacazette in our front three, because that bodes no optimism for the future. If we're playing guys like Martinelli, if we're giving opportunities to people like Saka, that's where the attention should go. So the whole reason I'm upset with the Ozil situation because I just want to see him playing again for some team. I don't think it's a big deal for Arsenal because frankly, I'd much rather give that creative opportunity to someone like a Saka. I think Saka is someone who could get that opportunity. We saw Emil Smith-Rowe yesterday. He was great. Obviously, I don't know how much he can maintain that consistency. But I'd rather see people like them get that opportunity, even if it means we're inconsistent. And I think that goes back to the broader point, Mazak, of how you said, you know, this year Arsenal is, Arteta's performance is way worse than maybe Unai Emery's first year and even Arsene Wenger. I don't deny that. And I'm okay with it if it means we're finally pushing and saying, hey, we're at a point in our trajectory where we're just going to take these young guys and run with some of these really, really awesome young guys that we have. We have Saka at 19. Leno is 28. He's been fantastic. And 28 for a keeper is not particularly old. Tierney is 23. Gabriel is 23. I think he's been awesome in the center of defense. Martinelli is 19. Rob Holding Partey is slightly older at 25, 27. William Saliba had a fantastic year on loan last year. Obviously, he's not played so much when he's come back for Arsenal. So he's been, like, we have really, really good young pieces. What we can't afford to be is crappy with an old team. So if he keeps going in that trajectory, I'm happy to take the 15th place place slot.
The question is, would you rather that Saliba play, Saka play, Smith Rowe play, Nelson play, as opposed to David Luiz? Yeah, and we lose with a respectable 2-3-4 even. Even the same four line as we used to against the big six, but or do you prefer a 1-0 loss or a 2-0 loss with a completely drab team going over? I much rather see the young ones at least go for, because I think, if I'm not wrong, there was this one game away at the Old Trafford. It was a horrible light blue kit which we had, and Willock was playing, Maitland Niles was playing, and we lost narrowly. We just played bare, slim margin, we lost. And that was the proudest I've been at of a performance at the Old Trafford for a very long time. And again, when it happened, I think last season, when it was Saka who gave the initial ball to Oba to score the 1-0 win, much rather have him do it as opposed to see Willian running around like a, I mean, pointless, aimless, absolutely.
You know, one thing that one thing that baffles me about the choices that Arteta makes is that you sign Saliba for 27 million and he doesn't play it because you say that he is going through personal issues, right? And when you look at Ozil, you're talking about why isn't Ozil playing? And the biggest issue is that Ozil hasn't been replaced by a person with what Ozil used to do. So, in that sense, I'm a little baffled with a lot of decisions like not playing Balogun, who's like one of the best prospects we have going forward as well, preferring Nketiah over him. And then preferring Willian over Pepe all the time. There was a slew of like 9 games where I was like, why is he starting each and every time? And, you know, he punishes players for like disciplinary things, like with what happened with a few people. But when William went to Dubai and was with that Salt Bay guy, nothing happened. He started the next match. So there is, I don't know. It is
with Jamal, which actually brings me to two statements that are so baffling, and I just don't understand Arteta at times, and it's really confusing for fans as well. Football is not like basketball. I'm quoting him. In basketball, you shoot 50 times and the opponent does it once and you win every single game. It doesn't work in football like that. You can do it the opposite way around and lose 1-0. What?
I 100% stand by that statement. It is absolutely amazing.
Krishna, tell me. This reminds me of that Barcelona-Celtic Champions League game where Barcelona had some 40 shots in the game, some 89% possession. And they still lost. So
I forgot the goalkeeper's name. I forgot the goalkeeper's name who saved a one-on-one against Messi. I forgot his name.
I don't remember all that. But the point is, this doesn't make any sense. He's smoking something. And if he is, then please pass that along. But coming back to a second quote. And Jamal, again, this is exactly why I'm more baffled about whether you can have faith in the guy as your manager. Last year, we won against Everton with a 25% chance of winning. You win 3-2. Last weekend, it was a 67% chance of winning any Premier League game in history and a 9% chance of losing. And you lose. 3% against Burnley and you lose. 7% against Spurs and you lose. What?
This is 0% like a understanding of the statement and I lose. So, my point being, okay, I don't understand press conferences. Like, okay, don't go for press conference stuff because I have seen a video of Mourinho going up and all that bullshit. They call Mourinho box office. All right, yeah. So I don't care about what goes down in a press conference. Results, fine, I can debate that. But press conference, and there are so many times. Okay, people had a problem when Wenger said, "Oh, if you think it's that easy, come manage the club," right? His point still stands, right? No, none of the managers who've come along have been able to do it. So, go for it. So,
but that's not the same, Kui. It's definitely not the same. It's different when you come out. It's different when you come out and say absurd stuff to back up your players, or you criticize the opposition. You make random statements with projections like percentages of wins.
The only issue is that Arsenal are one of the clubs which has always been in the limelight for not doing well in spite of being a top tier club, right? So the manager perennially under the spotlight. Players, same thing happens. Gareth Southgate said some absurd thing about what would Villa fans do if Jack Grealish started the game because they wouldn't have anything to tweet about. But nobody cares what Gareth Southgate does.
You're wrong. They do hate him. No one likes Gareth Southgate. England fans are not fond of him as a manager.
It's
fine. But do you is it blown up to the same proportion as it would be for Arteta? Is my only question.
No one can deny that it is lame. This statement.
I'm
defending that you know he has a point. But the point I'm trying to make is that we are expecting it to happen, whatever he says, because he's really good with his words. And sometimes Arsenal fans are really taken aback by, he really understands the sentiment of Arsenal fans. But when it doesn't translate on the pitch, that's the biggest issue. A lot of the things that he says, it doesn't really sort of translate to his recruitment, his choice of the first 11 and a lot of that.
My current issue with what is happening right now is it's going somehow becoming the same as what it was with Emery. It suddenly becomes a project for the future too. We have to win now or else I'm fired. So I mean, why are you doing that? If there is a committed timeline for you, there is a contract and you know this is not going to happen, okay? But Emery started doing that, right? I'm going to just plug people in a position and expect them to play center attack mid. Alright, so my point being, is this a project for the future? Is it as promised? Or is it, I must win now? Which is why you're playing someone like Brilliant, you're playing Lata, you're playing, I mean, every game, in spite of knowing that, Jamal said, Balogun, right? He has been far ahead in terms of just sheer attacking placement, attacking runs, as opposed to Lata, right? Because Lata has no option, right? He's not going to outrun a player. So, try something else. So, is it a project for the future or I must win now?
Krishna, do you see Arsenal having a system under Mikel Arteta currently? Do you see a long-term project under him?
Yes, I do. But it requires two things. And I think you both brought it up. One, there's a level of honesty that is required. Honesty in two fronts. One, we need to stop being as arrogant as we've been in the past. I think it was last year against Brighton, where I think it was Mopé or something who came out and like Arsenal, I think Mopé tackled someone and a bunch of Arsenal players got in their place. Arsenal can't have the arrogance of believing that we deserve 3 points at the end of the day and we will get 3 points. And I believe I fell into this trap as well, pretty much every week thinking, well, we've lost the last four games. We have to get 3 points at this point. No one gives you points. So we have to be self-aware enough to realize we are not owed anything in this league. Every player has to realize that and has to provide that commitment. It takes effort every single game in and game out. And it doesn't matter that you put 460 terrible crosses into the box. You have to create chances that are actually valuable. And that's the rule that every single team in the league has. We are one of the worst teams in shot conversion. The only team that is like Manchester City is at similar shot conversion rates, but they create 450 chances. So I believe Arteta can create a system, but it requires a level of honesty from the players to realize that we have to be honest with ourselves and realize we're not the Arsenal of old. We need to perform week in, week out. Number two, it requires a level of honesty to be honest with which players are good. Okay. And I think even that comes to the youth as well. We can't get caught up with something like the Europa League when we're playing mold and be like, you know, Reece Nelson suddenly starts to look like he's Ozil of old and we suddenly get really, really optimistic. So it takes a level of honesty. And the second thing that is absolutely required is an attitude change. An attitude change in the sense that we need to be composed. The game against Burnley, where we are actually putting pressure on Burnley and Xhaka goes and chokes out the player and gets a red card. And later on, I think we should have gotten a second red card with what Mohamed Elneny did. That can't happen. There has to be a level of temperament and composure that needs to be established in the team. And that, it's an issue because, you know, I actually think our defense is doing better. But because of our temperament, we make mistakes and we concede goals. So temperament needs to change a little bit to just calm down a little bit, be more composed. There has to be a level of patience from fans. And with that, I do believe Arteta can create a system. But he is slower because he is newer.
So, Jamba, go ahead.
So, what Krishan said, right? If you want to look at Liverpool 4 years ago, I think nobody there believes, right from the manager to the players, and they never kept on harping it that we are Liverpool, we are a top four club. No, we are a football club, we need to win games. So we will play X, Y, Z, whatever is required. We don't care what our past dictates. And now this is something I don't really appreciate when I hear Arsenal players and managers speak in the last 1.5 years. We are the Arsenal, we need to get back to the old. Relax. First try beating Wolves, speaking Miguel. Okay? Try beating Wolves, try beating Burnley, try beating Brighton, because those guys are convinced that they'll do what it takes to win 3 points every week. Don't think of it as a long-term project that I will play today's game based on, oh, we want to develop the silkiest football ever. So let me not focus on 3 points today. No, you have to focus on 3 points today as well.
So just to wrap up, guys, finally, Jamwal, what are your league expectations now, realistically? We're almost halfway through the season. Where do you see Arsenal finishing, or ideally, where would you want them to finish now?
So I don't think it matters where would I want them to be. I think realistically, I think Arsenal will be a top 10 team. I think they'll figure it out with the January transfer window as well. I'm sure they're going to get a creative midfielder. And I think it will be a top 10 team where there can be aspirations to do maybe something in the Europa League. Otherwise, I have very realistic expectations. Nothing special at all, even when it comes to trophies.
Europa League qualification squad. I said it. Qualification squad. Not okay. Six.
Yeah. We're still in the FA Cup.
yeah. Don't worry. finally, one last thing. I know you guys are Arsenal fans, have been Arsenal fans for donkey's years. Jamal, you yourself. Just a quiz here, a quick fire question. Jamal, who has the most red cards for Arsenal in the Premier League ever?
Isn't it Xhaka?
No. Gui, you want to have a go?
Is it Arteta?
Absolutely not. Guys, you are embarrassing.
Vieira or Martin Kuhn?
Yes, it's Vieira. He had eight in nine seasons. But that's not that much, yeah, when I come to think of it.
No. When you're playing Roy Keane, how can you not get a red card? That is needed.
Well, Giggs never had a red card, so we can
talk
about
with Roy Keane. That's why. Who do you mean Roy Keane's getting all the red cards for him?
Okay, now another very, very interesting fact. I was pulling up these questions. Any of you can have a go. Who has the worst clean sheet record for Arsenal? So, as in, who has the least clean sheets per game on average?
You're saying goalkeepers, Maz, or any player in the...
Goalkeepers. Of course, goalkeepers. Yeah.
So, I'm going to pick between Cech and Almunia.
Okay. Anyone else?
I think Almunia is a good choice. Almunia was quite the stinker.
Almunia was probably your worst keeper, but stats-wise, not. Krishna?
Just to pick a different name, Szczesny?
You guys will be shocked. I myself was surprised.
Is it
Bernd Leno.
Ooh, really?
He has a clean sheet every 4 games. Everyone else is around the 2.5 to 3 mark. But yeah, it's Bernd Leno. So that really nails down and properly explains why Arsenal have struggled.
Man faces more shots than three of our keepers of the past combined. This is not on him. That stat is not on him.
I know. This is the one thing.
That is on everyone who plays in front of him.
Yeah. No one's blaming Leno. He's probably one of your best keepers ever in terms of skill levels. But anyway, that brings us to an end to our episode. Firstly, thank you so much, Jamwal. Pleasure to have you. Looking forward to many more episodes which are non-Arsenal related, ideally, when you can make time. And thanks, Krishnan and Gui. It's always a pleasure. And everyone tuning in, thank you so much. Like, share, subscribe, comment. We're on every podcast platform you can imagine, so do tune in. The videos are on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram. We bring in content every week. So stay tuned and we'll be back with a new episode next week. Bye-bye.